ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్ నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Saram dear listeners, and welcome once again to Outside Inside Deep Inside.
Puchho na kaisi hai meri maa, ek sachi dost jaisi maa, hari poochho na kaisi hai sai maa.
So that's the lovely song which you might have heard many times, and that so beautifully describes the connect between Bhagwan and students, how he is the most beloved, how there is no one who is closer, who is more intimate to you. There is no one with whom you can develop a connect. That is a connect that you can develop with no one else in the world. And if you have been following this series of conversations that I have been sharing with you in the last few months in Outside Inside Deep Inside, wherein I have been bringing to you moments of deep learning, moments of deep revelation, moments of beautiful proximity that students have experienced with Bhagwan in the Vrindavan campus, in the Vrindavan that used to be there in the 60s and 70s, the Vrindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning is celebrating 50 years of its coming into being in June 2019, and in June 2018 we started this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan, and over so many weeks I have shared with you how the Vrindavan ashram came into being, how the college started, how the hostel was shaped by Bhagwan in the formative years, how every aspect of students' life and living was personally directed by Bhagwan, how he laid down every little precept of how a student should cultivate his body, mind and soul. So it's been a very, very revealing, it's been a very, very reinvigorating experience sharing with you these moments. And I've shared a lot with you about the period 69 to 79. The beautiful safe room experiences you've heard from Dr. Shiv Shankar Sai, from Dr. Sonam, Mr. Malikeshwaran, Mr. Sridhar. There are so many that we have heard from in the last few episodes. Mr. Sagar, Mr. T.C. Ashok and so on. In fact, we are also doing a beautiful series on this in our Telugu YouTube channel, Ready Say Telugu. You can watch these beautiful conversations with former students of Bhagwan's University who were part of the Vrindavan family. So today we move on, and I'm going to share with you today someone who joined the Vrindavan campus in the early 80s. And the reason you're going to listen to him today is we are now slowly moving from the 70s phase to the early 80s phase. And one major thing that happened in the 80s is the coming up of the Trai Vrindavan, the residence that stands today in the holy presence of the Vrindavan Ashram was constructed in 1984. The construction started in 83 and it was unveiled in the summer of 84. And whom you are going to listen today is someone who was witness to that event. So we are slowly moving on from the 70s because we have to come to the 80s and then the 90s, because there's loads of students who had very lovely moments with Bhagwan during the 80s and the 90s during the famous Trayi sessions. So today we are going to listen to a stalwart, a very inspiring personality of the Sai family when it comes to Bhagwan's educational institutions, Dr. Sailesh Srivastav, who has mentored generations of students in the Sri Satya Higher Secondary School and now in the college, who is a brilliant teacher, who is a very accomplished musician, who actually is the director of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan Group. He is the one who has spearheaded the bhajan sessions in Prashanti Nilayam for decades, and someone who is a pillar of inspiration for students year after year. It's really our blessing that we're going to listen to him today talk about what was Vrindavan when he joined in the early 80s and how he developed his connect with Bhagwan in that era and how he reflects on what he has learned then. He will also share the episode of the old bungalow, the previous residence of Bhagwan, coming down and the Trayi Vrindavan taking the beautiful shape that it is now, the beautiful lotus shape. So with prayers to Bhagwan, let's begin this session listening to Dr. Sailesh Srivastav.
It takes me back to almost 37 years ago. It was in 1982 that I had joined Vrindavan.
Yes.
In fact, you know that they say that whoever came into Swami's life during his avatarhood, everybody felt that they came a bit too late.
Yeah.
Because, and if you ask the people who came in the 60s, they'll yes. feel that they came a bit late. They yes. missed something before that.
The Swami of 50s.
Yes. And so, though I joined in 1982 for the students, now it appears like, it was a ancient time and he must have experienced everything. When we joined, we were told that, you have missed.
You already missed everything.
Everything in Vrindavan, and this is like, everything has changed. But still, when I recollect those days, they were very strikingly different from what we saw in the later years. And I will say it was those first one or two years which played a role in my, getting out of the usual Delhi attitude. I had come from Delhi and I really did not have, that kind of a background. We had been to Balukas for a short period of time out of some kind of a force, I will say. Mm-hmm. And so that's a different story. I've written some of those things in my book, but I will talk here about, what I felt when I joined Vrindavan. So it was that in 82, I just came after my 10th class and I came to Parthi. So we were so naive that we didn't even know when the entrance and what are the timings for that. We were actually around 15 days late for the session. Session had already started. We came to Parthi and we were told that nothing, admissions will not take place. But then we went to Vrindavan. Swami was still in Parthi and I sat in the Darshan ground. Mm. And in the Darshan ground, Swami's, divinity incarnate, yes. and he comes and then you try to approach him and it's not so easy. Mm. I remember keeping one letter, just, praying to Swami, and Swami looked and smiled, and then that's what happened in Parthi. We went off to Vrindavan, and there in those days, things were much more free. Of course, a few years before that, Swami used to personally select, but I have missed that, okay? So I was not part of that fortunate.
Every student who joins
Swami hand-picking like that. Yes, so this was literally. Not like that. Here we went and met the principal, and okay, I was fairly good in academics, and he just saw the record and he told, see, you're late. But then he agreed and he just took me.
Oh, wow.
Thing, and I joined Vrindavan. And then first few days passed because Swami was not there. And it really did not strike me as to what Vrindavan means. But a few days later, Swami, you know, came to Vrindavan. And then we used to call it the bungalow sessions. We'll go to where Swami recites. You know, it was the old bungalow, we used to call it.
Yes.
I mean, for any devotee, that should be the mandir, you know, where God recites. Yeah. But those were the words that we used to use because it was a old bungalow, British time, old bungalow, which Swami was residing in. So all the sessions used to take place there, and we used to have bhajans there, etc. So I remember the very first session, we all rushed, and then students, senior students would give lot of importance to the freshers.
Okay.
It was such that, you know, those boys who had studied and been in Vrindavan in the 70s and early 80s, they had got so much from Swami that they were always filled, and they would be very willing to give and sacrifice and let others also experience. This was one attitude which I think I picked up, and a little bit of that feeling came into me also.
Wow.
So the seniors there, they would put all the freshers right in front. So I did not know really what it's going to be like. When we entered, you know, there's a rectangular hall in the bungalow, and then there's a door, a window facing the outside. Many students will be crowding around that window outside because everybody will not fit into the main hall inside, which is just a residence. So it's a rectangular long hall. And in the center, Swami's chair is kept along the wall. Actually, I have seen that chair in some photographs, and then later only I realized that, okay, this is the chair. So that chair was kept there, and we all sat around the chair. Now, mind you, I had come from Delhi and with a background where Swami was, you know, some divinity.
You had faith in Swami.
Yes, I had faith at the time when I joined, but not too much before that. Just that was my transforming period. So I sat there, and I had seen in the Samitis and the Balvikasas that wherever bhajans are done, Swami's chair is kept. So I actually assumed that symbolic chair.
Okay.
I didn't know what's going to happen. So we were all sitting there. They said the bungalow bhajans will be there. So we all went there. And I knew that Swami is there upstairs somewhere. I didn't know how the sessions take place. And
so instead of photo, a chair is there.
Chair is there. So we all sat, and we were sitting in front of the chair. And the shock was that after some time, suddenly the door opens and then Swami walks in. And actually, I was sitting right in front of the chair. Swami walks in, comes and sits off there. And now that was such a surprise. Now you believe me? I don't know what happened, but for the next half an hour, I was only crying. Continuous tears were coming out, and I don't know why. So God knows, you know, each soul, how he has prepared and brought. And, you know, at last he has pulled me out of so many other avenues where I might have simply got sidetracked into the bylanes of life. So he has pulled me out and then brought me there. And somewhere within, something happened. I think something burst inside.
Wow.
And all I know is that that first session, I did not look at Swami only, because I was not able to look up because I was continuously crying. And I know that Swami started talking to all the freshers there. Now Swami is so kind and loving that physically he was knowing that, you know, this boy is something he has done which I am experiencing. So those were not the moments where I could speak.
Yes.
So he asked so many boys. I could listen to some of those things, my own classmates, Swami asking, where did you come from? Where did you come from? Where did you come from? But he didn't speak a word. It was just that I was sitting there and continuously crying. So that was my first experience, and I thought that that broke some veil inside which was, you know, covering that kind of free flow of feelings for God. So I still don't know the logic behind it, but that's what happened. After that, All I know is that, yeah, we were all part of the same group running everywhere. You know, 11th class boys are the kids of the hostel. So yes, taking photographs and running and then getting photographs signed or jumping around for getting some chances. Mm. Those first few months, and that was the only time I remember I also did that, because somewhere down the line all that changed and I became somewhat calm and not really running around for that. Yes. But there was a lot of joy in that also. Mm-hmm. You know, Vrindavan had a charm which can rarely be described to people who have not experienced it. You know, there were trees around. There were these deers in the thing, rabbits in the garden there outside.
Yes.
And the very natural surroundings. Monkeys would also be there.
Yes.
And within all that, Swami's bungalow is there. So early morning, many boys, we would just go off into Trey Vrindavan. And then there'll be pin drop silence. Hmm. Okay. So boys are just standing under a tree. You know, Swami had one or two windows from where he would open the curtain and then look down. And we used to call that as window darshan.
Hmm.
So that was famous. So boys would just go there and wait for Swami to come. And Swami also knew, you know, that boys are waiting. And that was all around. It was not just in front, but on the side also there was one window and one something in front. So boys used to be just waiting. Now if Swami suddenly opens the window on the side, the people who are in front will miss. So nobody can speak or shout or call. It was automatic silence and everybody was kind of lost. So it was in some sense, you know, possibly a reflection of the Vrindavan with gopis and Krishna, that in some sense people were lost in thinking of Swami and just praying for a glance.
Constantly you are so focused on him.
Yeah, that was kind of automatic in
automatic,
the
because of the ambience.
Yes. So if Swami opens the window on the side, somebody will snap his finger. That was the only thing that was allowed. So invariably somebody would snap the finger and then you'll hear a hustle and a bustle. Everybody will run to the other side, and then Swami also very clever. It's not that a, you know, official that I have opened the curtain, now all of you stand and give darshan. No. He just opens the curtain, one glance, looks, closes it.
Wow.
And he has, it's like a play, because he knows that they will wait now. Then again he may suddenly open and close it. So these kind of things automatically, slowly you start craving for that. If you think about it, just a thought comes to me. Why is it that people love their parents? Correct? See, after all, the same parents who are, let's say, somebody's parents, XYZ, another XYZ may criticize them. Correct? But every child loves his parents. And that's the easiest way to develop love for somebody, being somebody's son or a daughter. Automatic.
Yes.
Why? Because you spend your childhood with them.
Yes.
They share your joys and sorrows. You live with them. You interact with them daily. And then somehow, without your knowledge, there's no reason for love. There's no season. You know that you start loving them. When God incarnates, you know, one of the purposes that Swami says is that God comes down is to establish prema dharma, love for God in the heart of man.
Yes.
So when I look back, I see those were the days. Because Swami was so close, physically he was available. You go and sit there, or he plays with you around, or suddenly he comes out to feed the deers, and whoever is there in front, he gets the chance. So each one starts craving, then Swami asks you something, talks a sentence here, a sentence there. At the end of it all, you realize that, oh, some love starts sprouting for Swami. So these were all incidences. When we look back, we realize, yeah, those were the formative years, and Vrindavan played a very, very significant role, I would say, in my life from that point of view. Many of the chances that we got, the seniors were very willing. See, I've got so many chances to play harmonium.
Yes.
But those were the times, I should say, those seniors who were there, they pushed us. Like, I remember the first time Swami came off to the hostel for a program, there was a jhula for Swami. And the third UG students, they're all famous singers now, okay? Including people like Sonam sir, Kote sir, many of them were. And they had fixed some songs. And just before the program begins, they tell me, hey, this boy also knows how to play harmonium. Why not give him some chance. Now, let me tell you, I hardly knew anything. Okay, I was quite nervous. I just know how to play some bhajans. Live playing, I was not used to it.
Mm.
But they put me on the stage. We got a namaskar. We all individual namaskar from Swami. Go and sit there and then play harmonium. For that first song which I played in front of Swami for a program, I just put the Shruti. No, it was first of all, it was a solo song which I had never heard. Okay. And these people, they were so willing to give a chance. I admire that fact that, and it was also very informal. Hmm. You know, nowadays things have become so formal that we say that, oh, if the boy cannot play, it's, you know, it'll mess up things and there's so many people, public. And here this was a very close session. Hmm. So I sat there and I remember as the interlude came between two lines, the singer just looked at me and told, play, man.
Play something.
Play something. And I just looked at him and...
You still didn't play?
I didn't. Oh my God. I was just like nervous and shivering there.
Oh my God.
And just kept Shruti. But I got a namaskar and chance just for putting the Shruti.
Oh, wow.
So this was Vrindavan.
Wow.
It pulls you out of your shell and then throws you into the open and you start getting those lovely chances.
Hmm.
It so happened that with these chances, towards the end of our first year 11th class, we heard that the bungalow is going to be demolished and the new construction is coming. And everybody was quite upset for that, because people had lot of feelings associated with that bungalow and then Swami's residence.
Because it was not a bungalow, it was Swami's residence.
And
it was the Leela Mahima's Thala.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So people would wait for opportunities there. So I remember towards the end, when it was exactly actually after our 11th class, so I think...
March, April, 83.
Possibly in the April, May of 83. And then, in fact, Swami took us to some place also, I remember. He took all the boys an outing also once.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the time where they said that, this bungalow is going to be demolished and the new construction is going to start, and the demolishing started.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we got some chances there.
So it was vacation time?
Yeah, it was vacation time.
You didn't go home?
No, okay. I didn't go home. I went only after in the winter vacation of my 12th class.
Okay.
So the summer vacation of 11th, I stayed back. There's another thing, charm of Vrindavan, that there were boys, I remember, they used to say that, you know, this boy, he's doing his second UG or third UG for the second time.
Oh.
Now, some people would not like to pass. Because they want to stay there one more year and they know that, okay, the institution allows you to repeat 1 year if you fail.
Oh, wow.
So people are such that they would possibly fail in a single paper and then they would...
Intentionally.
Yes. I heard such things. I know of some people like that.
Mm.
I mean, the later years after the university came up, you cannot think of such things. You'll be thrown out possibly.
Yes.
But at that time, if somebody fails in a paper and then he has to repeat the term, so then he doesn't have to attend all the classes, he has to write the exam as supplementary.
Mm.
So he says, okay, he can go to the bungalow and sit there daily. There were some boys who would get the door duty chance and some say, okay, you don't have anything to do. So they get that chance. So we heard that, oh, you know, this senior, he is just forgetting that duty, he's staying there. So that atmosphere was there. During our first winter vacation, I remember Swami had come to Vrindavan. So Swami used to be in Parthi and then come to Vrindavan. So when he had come before Dasera, one day he just came out and all of us 11th class boys were standing there. And Swami comes and says, boys, who all would like to come with Swami to Parthi for Dasera?
Okay.
Everybody raised their hand, even though many didn't understand what it means, because nobody had gone to Parthi. I mean, many had not gone. They didn't know what it would mean. But many of us raised hands and then we all actually went. In fact, that was the time I got my first interview in Parthi in my 11th class, which I didn't know. Only many years later, I realized, oh, it is so precious, because when you get one, you think that possibly every other day you're going to get one more. And when you realize that it's not happening, you're again, you know, back to square one.
Yeah.
So then you realize it's worth. So those are the days where, Swami would call students, talk to them, interact. Sometimes there's just some cleaning. When this bungalow was being broken, one of the sessions, I remember we was in the quadrangle inside the bungalow.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami was coordinating and telling, okay, remove the Rama statue from there.
Uh-huh.
And then put this here. And we were all running because it was vacation time.
Wow.
And it was a big opportunity for us.
Yes.
Again, I'll say that we were only kids because we didn't know too much about it.
Yes.
Because all seniors, third UG, they were the people who would do the main things.
Mm.
But as kids, we were enjoying that.
Enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's part of that whole process and Swami is there.
Yes, Swami is there. There used to be that famous safe room and all that
yes.
also.
Yes.
I just got once or twice that opportunity to go there, but it is something totally different. It's like being in the interview room.
Yes.
In a very informal setting.
Mm.
Interview room is always informal. And
yes.
But people, like in an interview, you are called and you go there. For the safe room, it was, if you go there, you're there. So, it was like,
yes.
If some senior tells you, you know, that there is an opportunity, you can go there, then you come to know, then you start going there.
Hmm.
So, it was just like whoever runs and goes yes. in there yes. first, he's there.
It's like you're living with God in his house.
Yes.
And so, you keep constantly be watchful of God's movements and just be at the vantage position.
Yes, yes. It was like that. And that feeling would be all the more because Swami would be talking to us there and then at some point he will go for giving darshan outside.
Yes.
So he goes outside. So we'll say, yes. okay, Swami has gone to give darshan.
Mm.
Then he goes and then comes back.
Mm.
And then again you may have a session.
Yes.
So it is just like people talk of Kodai Canal, you know,
yes.
that we are living with Swami and then yes. Swami goes out and gives darshan.
Yes.
And that is why you start feeling being part of his family.
Yes.
And that is why, again, some kind of a bond
yes.
Develops. As far as I was concerned, I remember that it was in my 12th class. Okay, because I happen to recollect this because I happened to write a letter to my parents regarding this chance that we got.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the 2-3 people who were got the opportunity to be part of a music program, which was arranged for the second convocation of the university. So actually classes were going on for all the university students. The classes were going on for all the Vrindavan boys. But some 15 of us, maybe 10 or 12 Parthi boys, they were all the seniors and some 2-3 from Vrindavan. We were taken to Parthi. We came with Swami. Swami was in Vrindavan and then he came with the entire
with
group.
Swami.
With Swami. The Parthi singers were also in Vrindavan for that vacation.
Oh, okay.
Then we all came to Parthi with Swami. And for the next 10 or 15 days, we had the most amazing time because we used to stay, of course, in East Prashanti as being Vrindavan boys who had come to Parthi. The other Parthi boys were in the hostel and they used to come. Daily, we used to have one session in the green room behind in the Purnachandra. And Swami would stay in the mandir here. He would come there, sit, listen to the entire, you know, all these songs.
Of the drama.
It was not a drama. It was just a music program.
Music program. Okay.
And, I mean, that was one of the times that I will say I had matured a little bit. And that's when I realized that, oh, I have started developing love. Something deeper. Because I have written that to my mother when I read those words. I was wondering, did I write it now? I had that feeling at that time because, you know, Swami would come, sit. One day he came with a very huge, big Cadbury's chocolate.
Mm.
And then he comes and breaks it and then starts distributing. Then he listens to one song. Then he talks something, jokes. So again, it became 15 days. We were immersed in it.
Mm.
When I went back to Vrindavan, it was like I had been in heaven for 15 days. So I wrote that letter that to my mother and telling that that I got such chances. And at the end, I have written that sentence that, you know, I don't know, but I had developed love for Swami. Because I now, when I recollect, when I came from Delhi, I was a novice. So I, not really, it was Sai Baba. But as you stayed there, Sai Baba slowly became Swami.
Swami.
No?
Yes.
So he became our Swami.
And then it becomes my Swami.
Yes. So this was one of the turning points for me, which was again associated with my memories of Vrindavan. In fact, when the institute opened, it was, I joined in 82.
Yes.
81 in November,
yes.
this inauguration has taken place. So it was just fresh. So the rules and regulations of the university had not yet percolated down into Vrindavan campus, and Vrindavan was still in the days of gopis and, you know,
yes.
it was existing in that fashion.
Mm.
But at the end of our 11th class, I think the university rules slowly started coming there because the first UG of that year, actually it is 2 years senior to me, the first UG, I was in 11th class, the first UG was already under the university.
Okay.
But the university rules and regulations were not yet all, you know, put in, they were not in vogue in Vrindavan.
Yes.
Because the heads and everybody was in Parthi. So it took them some time to realize that Vrindavan is still falling. You know, early morning we'll just go off to the bungalow, sit there, keep waiting for Swami to come. Mm. Then at some point go for breakfast, then go to college. So suddenly at the end of our 11th class, one day we heard that, hey, you're not supposed to walk into the bungalow without permission. It was like a blasphemy. Like, what's happening? Why can't I enter? Like, it was like, we thought it was our home. Like, we just go there. So, but that was a new thing. And that's where it started, you know, that one step at a time, Swami changed the rules and regulations. We didn't have any compulsory games or any such thing. And in fact, college, we would go in color dress.
Oh, in color dress, not in whites.
No. To the old bungalow, we used to go for darshan in whites. There also, there were some boys, I remember, wearing light, very light colors.
Because Swami never liked all the dark and flashy colors.
And, you know, it sets you apart when you are all in white. And there's some kind of a purity there. So that, again, in the college, this was not there. So with the coming of the university,
it was like unwritten sort of habit or a practice to wear light colors, but it was nothing as a rule.
No. And college, we had day scholars, and they would come in color dress.
Oh, okay.
So therefore, college did not have this regulation of rules.
Uniform.
Yeah, uniforms were not there. And once the university came up, the university rule was uniform was there, and then white and white. So in our first UG and all, we were all wearing whites. Even in our 12th class, I think we started in only 11th class. I'm remembering going in some colors to the college. So these were again moments where a lot of changes took place. We saw the bungalow being demolished. Once when it was being demolished, Swami came. And then that window darshan, where we used to have this window darshan, everybody used to be waiting. And we were so, you know, affected that that window is being broken.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has so many. That's a window to a treasure for so many students.
And that particular day, Swami comes, the curtains were not there, the roof had gone. Okay, and some walls had gone. The window was portion was still there. And Swami comes and stands there. There's nothing to hide and no hide and seek business. And boys are standing down and Swami comes and says, "See boys, free darshan."
I mean, actually, when you think about it, it is such a very poignant moment. It is such a very tense moment, actually. In a way, a moment which is very filled with so deep emotions. But Swami wanted to make it light.
And he made it light, and only when we look back now, we realize, you know, what those moments meant. At that time, yes, we had that feeling that, oh, we are losing this great opportunity. Nobody really knew what's going to come there, no? Means what will be, we were afraid that Swami will just go away distant and God knows what kind of rules and regulations will come. But I'll say that to quite an extent, Swami maintained it. Even in Thrai Vrindavan, the atmosphere and that was still there. So the boys, you have been in Thrai Vrindavan. You know that inside Vrindavan, Swami was very different from what he was in Parthi. In fact, in my second UG, I happened to shift to third UG. I happened to shift to Prashanthi Nilayam for physics major. I remember writing a letter to my classmates telling that, you know, it was a very big shock for us to come from Vrindavan to Parthi, because in Vrindavan, Swami was, we were part of Swami's family. And Swami would go and give darshan. Whenever Swami used to come to Vrindavan, this was the routine. And we were very few in Vrindavan on, in that year. In our second UG, we were just 90 boys in the hostel. I was shifted to Parthi, we had, from 90, it became 750 with school and institute. And then we were lost in the ocean. We didn't know anybody in the hostel, and in fact, it looked like nobody knew each other because there were so many. And then when we go to for darshan, it was a sea of humanity there. And then you just sit there. If Swami happens to come somewhere nearby, you see him. And it is the same Swami. You wonder, hey, I knew you, Swami. We were there in Vrindavan, but Swami also will just look
Every day we used to look at each other like you live in at home. You look at your father or mother like 10, 20, 30 times a day. It was like that. Vrindavan. Now here, maybe once in 20 days, he'll look at you.
And I wrote this letter where I just told that, see, to my classmates I wrote, because they were in third UG in Vrindavan, those who had not taken physics. I said, see, Vrindavan was like Swami's home. This is Swami's office.
It felt so different.
It felt like an office because office. I felt that Swami's like a distant, the boss of the office. He comes, he sits on that chair. You have to sit somewhere down and then he does bhajans and ladies, gents, everybody is there.
He has so many activities, so many people coming, VIPs.
We were part of the whole group. Unlike in Vrindavan where Swami would go for giving darshan somewhere. You know, like we were part of the same darshan group. So we became distant. So that again, I will say this was something that we still cherish, those who have stayed in Vrindavan those days. And I'll compare it to either Kodaikanal or being very close in Trai Vrindavan.
Yes.
When you experience that, it's a very different feel.
Yes. The kind of kinship that you develop once you're in that environment.
I remember just for aside that it was in Kodaikanal, okay, that the same kind of feel, that's why I'm wanting to tell this.
Please.
It was a dark night, okay, to put it in that way. And it was raining cats and dogs, as they say, no? It was raining heavily. And from the window in Kodaikanal, we could see the thunder and the lightning and all of that dropping on the lake there.
Yes, Kodai Lake.
And I was just standing there through the window pane. I was just looking at that, you know, a dark night and a stormy night. Everything is grey about it in that sense. And in the midst of that storm, there was such peace inside. And I remember telling it to one of the boys who was there. I was then already a teacher. I was just telling that, see how it feels. In the middle of the storm, we feel so peaceful because I know behind that wall, Swami is sleeping there. Because we had the opportunity of staying outside Swami's room.
Yes.
So the curtain and that door separates us.
Yes.
You know, when you have that faith and you know that He's God,
yes.
So naturally you have a sense of, such a sense of security that no human endeavor, you know, can ever give you that sense of security. No achievement, no power, no position, no money, no wealth can give you that sense of peace and security, which comes from the realization that God is a resident of your home. And when that realization comes to man, putting it in a different way, the day we realize that inside my heart, in this home, actually God resides, we will be the inheritors of that peace.
Yes.
You know, that is in some sense the purpose of life.
Absolutely.
To feel that. But again, Kodaikanal, these kind of small, small experiences, Vrindavan, they remind you because of that connect. I can remember, when such a stormy night was there and all that was going on, I was so peaceful. Why was it? Because I was knowing that Swami is right next to him. He can turn the earth into sky and sky into earth. He's right there. So he's willed it. Enjoy the storm. Enjoy the night also. Because it is one act of the play of God.
So you're part of God. You're not part of the storm.
Yes. That's the beautiful realization that you start witnessing the world from a different perspective.
Yes.
Because you start identifying yourself with him.
With him, yes.
Because you are part of him.
Yes.
So you feel that, I know the storm.
Yeah.
Even if there's thunder or lightning, if it's going to fall, now this Sai Shruti will be safe. I feel I'll be safe because I feel that God. So if man gets that connect with God, actually his life is done.
Yes.
He need not worry about the ups and downs and the trials and tribulations of life.
Yeah.
I remember on one occasion in Vrindavan, just when this bungalow was broken, then the new building came up, the Trai.
Yes.
And we got some nice chances there in the early, just in the setup period. Swami was in Parthi and we were doing all the, so we had the opportunity to go to Swami's room, do some cleaning, setting up there, the dining side and downstairs. We even cleaned the pond outside and then we filled it with water all around. There was water in the pond actually in those times. But I remember also interestingly that, you know, the Raj Mata of Navanagar, she happened to come, you know, for her Swami was like a son. I mean, she would treat Swami like his her Kanhaiya, like that.
Yes.
And she comes there and we had done a fantastic job and put nice fresh water in the pond and everything. And she comes and she chides Swami. Kya kiya tumne ye buddhi nahi? Why you're doing like this? Mosquitoes will breed next to you. How will you sleep? Don't put water here. And then Swami got the water
removed.
I have not seen water there after that. I don't know whether it was ever there. But I mean, such a simple thing which escaped everybody's attention that You know, how can Swami stay in a bungalow with water all sides? There will be stagnant
because
things.
Because his window is just above.
Naturally, that will be a breeding ground for all kinds of mosquitoes. It may look nice. And I think whoever gave the idea to Swami, Swami, you know, accepts everybody's devotion. He allowed it. Even now it looks good. Yeah. But then the water was removed.
You know, with lights.
Yeah, it has its beauty. But we needed a devotee like Raj Mata to tell that Swami. On his own, he wouldn't do that also. Because, see, for God, the mosquito and the no mosquito is also the same.
See.
But when a devotee says something for removing her suffering, he accepts this. I mean, Swami did this all through his life. And talking about that storm and other thing, I remember that just around that time only, Swami had started staying in Thrai. Just the first vacation, it was my 12th class vacation. And Swami was after the inauguration of Thrai. Okay. And there was a huge storm the previous night. And lots of, some trees fell down and there were a lot of things in disarray. Then morning, Swami came and called for some boys and only some 6-7 of us were there. And we got an amazing chance of cleaning up that whole mess with Swami standing in the center. Again, it was an amazing experience because there were monkeys running around and they were really, they were not looking like those devoted monkeys. No, Swami gives you all kinds of experience. So these monkeys are like playing the fool around. Yeah, naughty. And then Swami told, okay, chase those monkeys. So it was like we were as if we are protecting Swami. So we are running around Swami and then pushing around. Actually, Swami is also feeding. You know, there are times that Swami has fed monkeys also. Okay. This time, no, it was not the chance of the monkeys. It was chance of us monkeys there. And we were so happy because Swami is telling, and then he will talk very innocently. He'll say, kaiko, he'll talk in Hindi. Why you are doing this? Why monkey? Then he went and saw the rabbits. And we again had that same feeling of, you know, security in the midst of chaos. That feel which I got in much later in Kodaikanal. In Vrindavan also, a feel of that would come when
even though there was chaos all around, there was mess all around, because you had the master in the middle.
Right.
So it was all joy. Really.
Yes, it was joy. The monkeys also meant joy. At other times, we would be scared of monkeys, you know, if you had to really do.
Yeah, you have full courage. Fearless.
So you realize that, you know, possibly the army of monkeys would have felt that fearless with the Lord Rama, in the midst. Then even if they are going to battle Ravana, they feel that they feel secure. So there's some kind of security when you're in the presence of God, because you know that it goes beyond life.
Yes.
When your conviction of that Godhood, when it is beyond life, you don't fear death also. So it's a kind of peace and security. You know that even if something is to happen, He's right here.
Because the force, whatever you're experiencing, is all these trials and tribulations, and they are nothing in compared to the force that is with you.
Yes.
I mean, it is so huge that these are like too small a thing to even for one to bother.
So when I look back at that, and I look back at that, you know, when Swami said that Avatar comes to establish Prema Dharma.
Yes.
How did he do it? He did it in different ways. Okay, for each person he did it in different ways. But Vrindavan was like one such thing that he used
Arena,
for,
yes.
you know, for students especially. Because that automatically trickled down into Prashanti Nilayam and everything. Because those boys came here and they had experienced that. So it was already set into their hearts. So living with Swami, experiencing him in your day-to-day life, that automatically sprouts love. And that love and faith, I will say, they are all intertwined and interlinked. They are like one is related to the other. And that gives you a sense of peace.
No?
And Swami says, no, where there is faith, there is love. Where there is love, there is bliss. Where there is bliss, there is God. That finally it ends with that. So it gave you a glimpse of that. It gave you a glimpse of that when you were with Swami in Vrindavan.
I think that is the reason why everyone compares it to the times with Gopas and Gopalas. Because I think it was a phase where you were so centered on God that everything else just was gone into oblivion actually.
And though in some sense, I will put it in a lighter way, that we were not yet really like the gopis in that sense, because we were doing our education, we would go to college, etc. But, you know, God was using those moments. To push those feelings into us. I remember because in one of those safe room sessions, I remember Swami was there and then he looked at one boy and told, he was talking about Vrindavan. mm-hmm. and gopis. Mm. And then Swami told, see, you know what you are? You are a cow in Vrindavan. Swami looked at one boy, you are a cow in Vrindavan. Then Swami was telling that so many gopikas, you know, they used to be there in Vrindavan. And then Swami looked and told, Kani, no, in my Vrindavan, those kind of gopikas are not there.
Oh.
No? So, means he would always give you that thing so that you can
progress higher.
So, he'll remind you.
In fact, the letters that Swami should write also had these kind of vibes. You know, Swami should always talk about the devotion and this absolute surrender, egolessness of the gopikas.
If you look at those letters written to the Vrindavan boys and all, or to the students, Parthi also in those early years, it had all those kind of sentiments. They are like the highest form of spirituality if you read those letters.
Yes.
I mean, you can just go off.
Definitely had such a huge impact, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
In this, there were boys like that who were mad for Swami, isn't
it? Yes. In fact, I mean, on those days, it was a kind of a culture change when Swami brought the university and then slowly shifted the thing, because he knew that some kind of groundwork which he had to do was already done.
Yes.
So those people and what he had to give. See, every avatar comes with some background and some role.
Yes.
So he had finished that role. When he finished the Chitravati days, those things were forgotten.
Yeah.
It became something else and something else. So he had finished that initial days of the university.
Yes.
Now a formal university has to be established in the years to come. You know, this university will be a lighthouse for the world. So he has to now shift the gear.
Yes.
So naturally that we experience all those gear shifts, you know, the change in. So it was a tough time for some students I know, where they felt that they had joined for Swami, not for academics. So those sentiments were confused a lot. But when they shifted into the university, it would be a very tough time, because the teachers and professors would naturally find it very funny if a student says that, no, no, see, you teach, but I have actually not come for this education. I am just come for Swami. This is just pastime. So naturally people get upset. And Swami made sure that that culture also changed, and slowly he brought the formal education. So if you fail, you have to leave. And then Swami started asking, what grades have you got?
Yes.
And then oh, great students get some chance, extra chance. Swami used to call us and give namaskar. And he'll ask who got 5 out of 5 or something like that. And so he slowly shifted the whole emphasis. He introduced the idea of compulsory games. Of course, there are experiences which some others might have narrated to you how those things started. I was not there, but in Parthi, that games, they started. Otherwise, boys were not playing. When Swami was there, they were only going for darshan. But Swami knew that in the years to come in the university, that's going to be required. So he started, he encouraged, slowly sports meet has come. All things have become so grand in that sense.
Those are the formative years of establishing the connect between Swami and students.
Yes.
As well as setting the nuances of the Sri Sathya Sai system of integral education.
Yes, absolutely. The nuances of the Sathya Sai system were also set during that period. When they should come for darshan, when they should not come. Morning they should not come for darshan. That's like a new news. We were told that you cannot enter and only evenings you will come for darshan. We are not understanding why should somebody make such a rule. But it was there, and now it's part of, you know, history.
But one thing, as you said, main thing that Swami wanted every student to inculcate is develop that connect with the divine. And I think in those 10 years, Swami sort of laid the foundation for that. That is the foundation on which the institute also stands.
Yes.
Even though there is secular education and, you know, we are doing academically very well. But I think that Swami wanted should be the bedrock.
Swami made sure that even now, many who have experienced that phase, so they are all become, you know, the brick and...
I mean, just like someone like you who continues to be there and guide the students.
I mean, who have much more experience than me. But we all from that age, you know, where we experience a little bit of that. So automatically those feelings, they are ingrained into the university because of the people who have already experienced it.
Yes.
So it gets passed around.
Yes.
Even now you will be surprised that when boys talk about Swami, I thought that post-2011 when students talk of Swami, because they wouldn't have seen there. Many students now have not seen Swami.
Yes.
So their connect with Swami will be very different. But even though the physical is not there, even now their way of talking about Swami and all is very similar to what we would talk, because that thing has just gone, been passed from generation to generation, that students and Swami relationship.
They
is,
also feel that intimacy with Swami.
They feel that intimacy without ever having
physically seen Swami.
Physically. So that is one thing which came because of those formative years that Swami made it like that.
It has become the cultural ethos.
Yes, absolutely. That's the right word. It's become the cultural ethos of the place. Any student who joins Baba, in course of time, becomes Swami.
and then it becomes, you know...
Yeah, your personal
God.
It's like that.
Yeah, my Swami and I.
That's what starts happening. So that is the avatar had planned, that well planned, you know. And then Swami shifted from the university to medical and medical to more, you know, wider society. And then
students went into all these institutions.
Yes, into everything.
So that ethos sort of percolated.
Yes, yes. Now today we have you sitting here, you see. Had Swami not touched each one's life, you wouldn't have had so many people who would just leave things and then sit here and then say that, no, I want to be part of this. This was possible because of those days.
In fact, as you know, when you think a little more on these lines, you see that how first Swami invested on this, what we are now calling the cultural ethos, and creating instruments who are filled with this. Then Swami created all the institutions, be it the hospital, be it even the water project, or be it the various places inside the ashram. So everywhere you see, you know, whatever Swami wanted is so seamlessly now moving in that
one of the
ethos.
Nice rationale behind it is that when something comes out of love, out of the source, it gets purified and it can reach the highest levels. So Swami saw to it that that source was rock solid. Okay. Then what happened when, as each of the institutions started getting built, automatically the people, they had the right direction, they had the right you know, desire and the right focus. So in spite of Swami being physically distant, the institutions had the right focus. Now this nobody can achieve without having that kind of a connect. So Swami did that connect he established with every human being in different ways. But it is through that that all the great things are happening. Swami says that whatever, whether it's a water project or medical or any of these things which happened in the quickest ever speed that you can imagine, that no other institution or government organization could ever, you know, think of doing it in such a record time. It was only happening because right from the top to the grassroots level, everybody had that feel for Swami that we are doing something.
The motivation was different. Inspiration was different.
So everybody was putting in their best and everybody felt like doing something. So that again happened because in all the vantage positions, Swami had put people who had experienced that. And then they were able to transmit that to some extent.
And as you said, you know, once that thing got established in the heart, and even if externally Swami was different now, I mean, in terms of giving that much time changed or in kind of that kind of opportunities changed, but you only craved for it more. And you only wanted it, and you learnt different ways of experiencing it.
Absolutely, yes.
So that thing was set.
Yes.
That never goes.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's correct. I mean, for mankind itself, I mean, Swami has just come and created this. Once that love and source has been established, one automatically gets the right vision.
Yes.
Right purity comes. And then you start working in the right direction. So that also came out of the love that Swami established in the heart of man.
So going back to your school days.
Oh my God.
So you're talking about your 11th and you got the chance to be part of convocation.
I am remembering another episode, convocation. It was my 12th class ending. It was just after this convocation chance. I had told you that, you know, the convocation is a time where some kind of love sprouted. And the end of our 12th class, we had an exhibition done in Brindavan. The warden had told us to arrange one science exhibition in the current Kalyan Mandapam. That time the building was slightly different but it was the same place. We arranged an exhibition, and the governor of Karnataka, Mr. Govind Narayan, and his wife were the chief guest. And Swami was going to come and see the exhibition. So we all worked for a few days and made up so many nice things. I was very interested in this, some kind of, you know, electronics and these things. Possibly I, you know, got led to physics after it was there to some extent. So I was given the last place in the hall as Swami goes out, was an exhibit where I had made a modern house. I just called it the house of the future. Uh-huh. I had put some small electronic alarms, one burglar alarm, one fire alarm, mm-hmm. and one water alarm. Three mm-hmm. alarms were mm-hmm. put and made a nice 3D model of a house. Mm-hmm. So if you put your hand into the door, it breaks one light path and then it rings an alarm. Mm-hmm. So that is the final exhibit which was there. So Swami came along with governor and his wife and the warden. And so as soon as Swami came and stood next to it, actually just before it, I had one more, two exhibits I had made. The other one was a skull, mm-hmm. which we got from the bioscience department. We put it inside a dark chamber. Uh-huh. Then I put some LEDs which were blinking there. Uh-huh. So it was looking like the skull is smiling. Uh-huh. And we named it Smiling Horror.
Really? You answered, Swami?
Yeah. And very interestingly, Swami peeped into it and looked, and then he smiled. So I felt horror was inside and smiling was outside. So Swami looked like that. And the next thing was the house. So I showed Swami, if you put your hand here. So the warden demonstrated it to Swami. He puts his hand, the alarm rings. Mm. So he tells Swami. Now Swami just lifted his sleeve, pulled up his sleeve. Mm. Okay, so that, you know, it doesn't obstruct. That door was, you know, just as big as my fist, I'll say. Mm-hmm. So he has to put his hand through it. Mm. So Swami put his hand through it. The alarm did not ring. Now it was like a tense moment for me, because Swami and the alarm has failed.
Not working.
And the warden looked at me, you know, questioningly, what is this? The moment Swami took out his hand, I just saw, hey, everything is fine. So I just told the warden, sir, you see, it's working. So he put his hand again, and again the alarm rang. So he was very happy. So he said, Swami, it's working. So Swami put, again it didn't work. So again I was like little upset. Then he removed his hand. I saw it's working. I could see that every circuit is fine.
Something is happening.
So I tell the warden again, sir, you see, it's working. Nothing is wrong. So he puts his hand. It's working. So now he tells again, Swami, it's working. So for the third time.
Oh my God.
Three times the warden has put his hand. It is working nicely. Third time Swami puts his hand and it doesn't work. And, you know, Swami, he knows exactly what to tell at the right moment. He had an amazing message. Okay, and he had a person standing behind also who will add. Everything is well planned by divinity. So Swami just looks at us and says, I am not a thief. And, you know, it struck us.
It's a burglar's alarm.
It took some time to understand what it means. And when Swami said, I am not a thief, we became, you know, light, because we were tensed a little bit.
For you also, you have done an exhibit and it's not working.
Working in front of the governor, and Swami's let down as if in front of the governor, we don't know. Yeah. And, but Swami gave the beautiful message, and from behind, the governor's wife, she was very devoted, and she spontaneously tells, you know, from behind, Swami said, I am not a thief. And then she says, Swami is only a chitta chora.
Wow.
And then Swami smiles and says, yes.
Yes. Oh, wow.
He nods his head as if he was very happy, as if the entire message was, you know, clear. So God is capable of that. And he says, you don't have to put an alarm for my entering your house. Your alarm should ring if I leave your house.
Yeah.
Okay. You have put the wrong alarm for me. The alarm should only ring when God is leaving you.
He has already stolen your heart.
Yes. So when he's entering, that is the happiest moment. It should be a joyful moment and not a alarming moment. So, I mean, those are so many messages that we can take from that. And much later, around 7-8 years later, when I became a school teacher, we made a similar exhibit by a 12th class boy, and I was in charge of that room. And though this time there were not so many people there, but exactly the same thing happened. Because I had narrated the same experience to the student who had made it. But we didn't imagine that there will be an action replay. And it was working all the time. And then just before Swami came, then we showed to Swami. And it worked. Then Swami put his hand. It didn't work. And then just Swami looked like that and smiled and put his face like that. I had to explain to the students its meaning later on. So Swami educates you once sometime. And he says, I have already given you the message. I need not give it
now
again.
Now it has to
again.
Go to the entire batch of 30-40 students.
Yes. Now you have to do it. You see? So this is again one of the things which God teaches us, that don't expect me to again and again tell you. I have given it to you. Pass it on. Pass it on.
So that was Dr. Sailesh Srivastava from the Department of Physics, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Now he's in the Prashant Nilayam campus. Someone who joined Bhagwan's institution as a student way back in 1982. So today you heard from him how Bhagwan shaped these students way back in the 1982, 83, 84, how he developed the love for Bhagwan. And the important episode also that came out in his narration is the coming down of the old bungalow and the emergence of Trayi Brindavan, the beautiful lotus-shaped edifice which became Bhagwan's residence and which became a treasure house of lovely memories for decades and decades of students who came into the portals of Bhagwan's University after 1984 and had the chance to study in Brindavan. So we'll continue with those stories in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Really grateful to Swami that he enabled this episode, that Dr. Sailesh Srivastava could come. We recorded it this just last night. It is purely His grace that we are able to continue this series, offering everything to Him and praying that He leads us on this path of Satsang and Sai Bhagavatam. We bring this session of Outside, Inside to a close. And dear listeners, wherever you are, if you are listening to this, please do let us know your thoughts, your feelings. Let us together ruminate on Bhagwan. You can send us your emails by writing to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your messages to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us on this lovely journey. Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.